this is Sean Koss of Cyanide and Happiness, and you are listening to Inciting Incidents. Fuck you.
It's Friday, and it's 7 p.m., which means it's time for the Inciting Incident Podcast, supported by our patrons and available on Libsyn, Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Android, LiveJournal, Google Plus, The Hard Harry Show, News Radio, WHP 580, Rock and Emily's Bed Radios that are somehow appropriate for children that age, Most Tin Cans Connected with String, Tumblr, Snapchat, Zanga, LimeWire, WinMX, Napster. We'll have to spell it with two Y's there to escape Big Brother. The DCI, the Enchantment Under the Sea Dance, the plate in Pete and Pete's mother's head, and any other podcast app that somehow escaped this list. And now, here's your host, Al Lehman.
Good evening and welcome to the 60th edition of Inciting Incident. We are brought to you by Mind Aquarium, our first sponsor, who is done by my friend Terry Sheffield. She's a weird and quirky artist, and she sponsors this show. And we'd also like to say thank you to our new patron, Dan Flanagan, who will be contributing his game, card game, to our show. We decided that instead of selling mattresses or Audible, that we'd like to support some other local artists or people we know, and that's what we're doing instead of reading the same script about Blue Apron that everybody else has to read, and that's just not us. So that's how we're trying to do this. If you're interested, email incitingincidentpodcast.com. if you have a YouTube channel, a podcast, an Etsy page, anything you like. But special thanks to our first sponsor, Mind Aquarium, and we will talk a little bit more about that after the mid-roll. But welcome! 60 episodes, I can't believe it. Brian, welcome to the show.
Yes, I'm happy I can actually be back and present and not have to have a designated driver to get me back to my home state.
A designated driver, do tell.
Well, I'm just talking about the Baltimore trip when we were hanging out with Andrew for a while, and I had to head back to, Pennsylvania because life.
Indeed, life, it gets in the way all the time. So, we are recording what has to be 3 weeks out at this point. So, if we're not exactly topical as Facebook trends, just deal with it. We'll get to your cause eventually, I'm sure of it. So, like I said, this is September 18th, this is going to come out on September 30th, so we're coming to you from the past.
Greetings from the world of yesterday!
So, there's been a lot of, shall we say, bullshit going
really?
On.
Really?
Yeah. And,
is there ever not?
That's a very, very good point. Some would say that it's just the same shit, different day, but I'm not willing to go that far quite yet. But I do have to ask, the national anthem, really? That's what we're worried about now?
Oh, gosh. It's just one of those examples of how dare your actual patriotism get in the way of my fake patriotism.
It really is. And, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, for those of you who apparently don't subscribe to news via Facebook trends.
And congratulations.
Yeah, did
you're one of the sane ones.
He did a meanie thing by sitting down during the national anthem in a form of protest, and then people who are always bitching about losing our rights complained about him using his freedom of speech to protest.
There were so many responses to this response. I almost feel like this may be a hopeful spot for us as a people, because like the outrage of him being so disrespectful to, you know, our country and to the flag and to the soldiers who died so he has the right to sit down. It's like, well, exactly, he has the right to sit down. And a couple of really really tone-deaf editorial cartoons came down the pike. A subscriber on Tumblr to a couple of people who's... It was a hobbyist taking apart those cartoons for the really lazy messages that they are, and basically it came down to one person at the comic of Colin sitting in between, you know, soldiers and police officers and first responders and such. It's like, they sacrifice so you have your rights, and all the commenter could say was, yes, exactly.
Yeah. And there's been two memes going around that are really my favorites. One of them is white people. Why can't you people just protest in peace? Black guy sits down. No, not like that. And the other one comes out of, I think it was a football coach or a principal or somebody in Alabama who was like, well, if you're not willing to stand up for the national anthem, how about you go sit over there by those soldiers and let them take a few shots at you?
This was a congressperson, I think, who actually said that, yeah, and said it publicly.
Yeah, so just, let's just put that in layman's terms, no relation. If you don't stand up for an arbitrary song that's 200 years old and wasn't made the national anthem officially until like 50 years after it was written, and don't put your hand over your heart or wear a flag lapel on your jersey or...
Then it doesn't count.
Exactly. If you don't do the things that it makes the people press the sad pedal and me no likey, what the fuck? If you don't do that, then you deserve to be shot.
I think you're confusing American patriotism with North Korean patriotism, because last time I checked, we don't execute people in this country for not pretending to convey the proper amount of emotion during empty state-sponsored gestures.
Yet.
I know. Just wait.
Just wait for the black bags.
Yes, the government's just waiting to take control, like the control they've always had since the founding of this country as a federal establishment.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. I don't get it. I'll just go back to that. It's like, how dare your actual act of patriotism and sincere outrage get in the way of my fake outrage?
Why didn't they just say it was a sincerely held religious belief? That seems to work for everybody else.
Because he's insane. Because he plays for San Francisco, not Indianapolis. Because
it's where all the queers live. Yeah, I get it.
I guess. Well, this just goes on to the whole anti-Black Lives Matter in general kind of sentiment that people have. It's like, you know, black people, we won't even begin to acknowledge that they even have grievances until they say pretty please with extra sugar on top. It's fucking patronizing is what it is.
It really is, and I have to turn off a lot of the comments, even from people on my Facebook feed, just because... I think what was even worse was the pregame bullshit on NFL Sunday, where they were all sitting around going, you know, I'm all for freedom of speech or whatever, but that flag means blah, 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 and I think it's blah, 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 blah.
It's sort of like whenever they say, I'm not racist, but.
Right. This really isn't the day or the place. It's like, you're always going to say that. That's always going to be the point. If you know, I was talking to my wife about this earlier, especially after I saw it in George Carlin's special back in 2008. Mm-hmm. You always say, you have to stand up for the national anthem. Why? Because it shows respect. How?
Yeah, it's one of those things where where tradition is getting in the way of actual expressions of rights and patriotism. I know you and I don't travel in the same geeky circles, but I'm likening this actually to a subplot that came up in a webcomic that I subscribed to, where, you know, a character's trying to express the truth about a particular event where they caused the death of a lot of people. This is a Dungeons & Dragons-themed webcomic. And the leader of the party says, now's not really the time, because, you know, they're in the middle of the fight. The character just says, it's never the right time. It's never the right place. I am saying it now so that it is done.
Yeah.
This is what's happening. Yeah, yes, it's not the right time. It's not the right place. That's the whole point.
And I've made a couple points about this recently just because I really, really enjoy trolling it. First of all, how many people who are bitching about Colin Kaepernick not doing the thing about the national anthem because patriotism were flaunting their Confederate flags like a year ago?
A year ago, they still are.
Well, yeah, but that's when the issue was quote-unquote hot, and somebody from your Facebook tried to troll me that I didn't know enough about the Civil War.
He's since calmed down on that opinion.
I'm glad to hear that. I don't want to have to show my updated Civil War bookshelf, because my philosophy when it comes to books is I'm running out of room for books. I need more books.
It's that wonderful double standard of we can't trust them unless they do. You can't trust somebody unless they do this sort of thing for money. It's like, no, you really got to watch out for the people who do this shit for fun.
Yeah. And the other one I was drawing recently was how many people who bitch about the Second Amendment and the government taking away our freedoms are now calling for Colin Kaepernick to be shot for exercising his freedom.
Because to those people, the only freedom that they have is the freedom to shoot somebody. Or at least that's the only freedom they seem to want.
Mm.
Yes, it's the failure to understand that it's actually the amendment that comes before the Second Amendment that's usually more important than the amendment you're fighting for.
Are you serious? They rank those things?
Evidently. I mean, that's why they're numbered.
Oh, okay. I always thought it was arbitrary, you know, like standing up, whatever.
Yeah, you know, the First Amendment is just as good as the 14th.
Absolutely. So, moving on from that, I think we've said about all we can say on that.
Yeah, there's not that much to say. I mean, it's either, and it's not even a case of a dichotomy that you're either in agreement with what he's saying or you're a bigot. It's just, you either agree with what he's saying or you're wrong about how he's expressing it, that he doesn't have the right to do it. It's like, yes, he fucking does have the right to do it. That's the whole goddamn point.
As our friend Andrew Torres would say, that is literally the First Amendment right he is exercising.
There's no real ambiguity about this. You can be upset that he is protesting, but not to claim that he does not have the right to do so.
Yeah, those are two entirely different things.
Yes.
And speaking of rights to protest, I was in the middle of one unexpectedly yesterday.
Oh, do tell.
I'm not going to call these people the Westboro Baptist Church because I don't want to besmirch the Westboro Baptist Church.
Wow. Okay.
So they came to my campus, which, as all four of our conservative listeners will know, is, you know, the super hippie, safe space, trigger warning, happy, gay Ivy League school.
My inner Inigo Montoya is now screaming.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm walking to work. I got my job back with the football team, so I'm walking.
Nice.
Okay, I'm in, you know, shorts and a football shirt.
Right.
I'm not exactly wearing a rainbow flag and a Borat outfit. I'm just walking by because I want to go to work. It's hot, and I don't give a shit. I have to hike up 94 rows of Franklin Field steps, hauling two people's worth of camera equipment. My give-a-shit-a-meter is already low. But I see a huge group of people on Locust Walk, mm-hmm. which I don't know if you remember from visiting Penn. It's the main square where Ben Franklin and the College Hall and the old buildings are.
Oh, yeah.
And as I'm walking, I see they are protesting right in front of the Ben Franklin statue, and they have anti-gay signs propped up on Ben Franklin's statue, using his arms to hold it. One basically called the people homosex, which, if they don't know, is a derogatory term to make fun of you. So you don't even know when it's satire. Here's a hint. Christians for Michelle Bachman isn't an actual Christians for Michelle Bachman page.
Poe's Law, there's no such thing as satire that nobody won't believe is, that anybody, a person will not believe it's true.
Indeed. And I think the other one said, you know, no one is born homosexual.
So you not only fail you fail biology forever, you fail sociology forever, and you fail spelling forever.
Yeah. So, first of all, I found it incredibly coincidental that they were using the statue of Ben Franklin to protest sex, considering Ben Franklin fucked everything with legs.
And some things without, let's be honest.
Paraplegic was one of his fetishes, I was told. But
the man loved him some poon.
He did. But The other thing is, you know, right to protest. Yeah, I totally get that. It is a public space, technically.
Yes.
But they harassed me, and I was just walking by minding my own business because I didn't want to get involved.
I suppose, without assuming too much about either your dress or your character, I just wanted, I guess it's just because, were you on the same side of the street as them?
It's a walk.
Okay.
So I'm walking through campus.
Okay. Did you get within like a 5-foot radius of them? Because I just want to say that I guess it's because you were nearby and were not paying them any mind, so they wanted to step in and force you to pay attention to them.
I have to guess that's what's it. But, I mean, apparently it was because I have shaved legs and long hair, which I'm a fucking athlete. Of course I do. But it's like, your right to protest is fine. When it starts getting into harassment,
yeah,
then it becomes a problem. And I was reading the school newspaper article about it. They were yelling things at Muslim and Jew students, saying things like, "Go home, Muslim," or "Get out of here, Jew." It's like, first of all, you don't go here. Go fuck yourself. And second of all, these are the people, I'm sure, who bitch about things like safe spaces and trigger warnings. This is why we have those things! So we can go somewhere without having to worry about being harassed by some guy with a 2,000-year-old book of Jewish fairy tales assaulting us.
This is why we have these things, because of assholes like you!
Yes.
And, God, how tone-deaf is that also? I just love some instances of my own experience where, you know, in the University of Pittsburgh, we didn't have protests like this often, or instances like that, but I just can recall clearly one Sikh student in the full turban and everything got one of those, go back where you came from, and he just responded, "I'm from Mount Lebanon, you jackass." It's like, they are from here. Go back where you're from. Go back where you're from.
Why is it the only time people are bitching about how they don't like where the country is going is because they can't insult people anymore, or because people don't want to be harassed or bullied? That's the only time I hear about people complaining about the words they aren't allowed to use anymore, that things are too PC, that, you know, they don't like the way the country's going, and that's why they like Donald Trump. Why? Because he calls people names and gets away with it?
Yes, he legitimizes being an asshole in the public square and suffering absolutely no consequences for it. That's the thing. This goes back to my theory. It's not that they're against safe spaces. They want the whole fucking country to be their safe space because they're sick of people actually standing up and calling them out for being bullshitting assholes.
Yeah,
that's it.
They want safe spaces.
There is no other logic here. There is no other point that I can see them arguing from that has any kind of legitimate merit from this. They want to be assholes and they don't want people to call them assholes. Go cry me a fucking river.
Yeah, they want safe spaces for them and nobody else.
Yes, no one else.
Yeah, other people have places where they can go and not be called a fag, so naturally they have to... Yeah.
When did... I'm not sure if Cognitive Dissonance or if another one of our friends of the show podcast brought this up, but when the fuck did the country become an extended little rascal sketch? Okay, it's not even the fact that... I don't even think Donald Trump is running as a Republican. I think he wants to run to be the president of the He-Man Woman Hater Club at this point. There's nothing else that makes fucking sense about this! There is nothing else that makes sense about this at all!
Would Spanky be Department of Interior?
I hope so, because Spanky can actually get shit done!
Oh, God, that's amazing! I guess...
Alfalfa, Secretary of Agriculture, because of course he fucking is.
And Buckwheat is Secretary of Urban Studies, because Donald Trump doesn't know anything else about black people.
Donald Trump knows anything about black people?
Well, he saw him in a movie once, so that's okay, the closest thing I can get. I still love the fact he has a 0% polling in black people. It's
I believe amongst African Americans and Latinos. So basically, most of the coffee spectrum is coffee and creamer spectrum is firmly against him, which I deeply appreciate.
Yeah, I will say I, you know, editorialized back on episode like 6.
No shit.
about why Donald Trump scared me, and he still does, but I have to say it's also highly, highly entertaining to watch this dumpster fire.
Oh my God. Now, there were two things that I saw in relation to Mr. Trump that had me both kind of nodding along, shaking my head, and just tilting my head to one side in that manner of thinking that I do. One was from Ed, the wonderful proprietor of the Gin and Tacos political blog, he brought up an interesting point where he was talking about the thing that scares him the most about this election is not so much what the result of it will be, but what the aftermath of our politics and our society is going to be now that so much about what white conservative people, but let's face white people in general, seem to really, really want, that is there a way that we can even really forget about this and be congenial to each other again? I don't think that there is, because way too much deep-seated racial anger and grasping at the straws of entitlement has happened for us to really brush it under the rug again.
Well, everything has to come to a head eventually. And, you know, it did in the 60s, and I think it will again.
It did in the 1860s as well. That's what scares me.
Yeah, I'm hoping we don't get to that. But, you know, there would be several Confederate flags with jizz all over them at that point.
Oh, jeez.
But people don't take into account that 2% of the goddamn population died. And at today's figures, that would be, what, 6 million people?
No, 7 million people.
7 million people. We freak out when 4 people die.
Yes.
Overseas. Can you imagine 7 million?
Oh, jeez. Well, yes, actually, I can, because to those people, they wouldn't be people, they'd be them.
Yeah.
Which is what they want. They want a them.
They do. And that's what Donald Trump's major rhetoric has surrounded. Yeah.
It's not you, it's them. It's those people over there.
Yeah, and there's only two... Well, there's 3 solutions that I think are possible. One, people lead follower get out of the way.
You know,
they go along with social change and progress because they no longer have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
Two, things become segregated for different reasons. White people go where white conservative people go, and they isolate themselves, which is what they did in the 50s, white flight.
Yes.
If they do it all over again, except this time it'll be to specific states, or there's gonna be a firefight! Sorry, I had to get a little Boondock Saints there. But this is gonna come to a head in one way or another, and I sincerely, sincerely hope it is not physically violent. But it very well could be.
I think we might be headed in that direction, and that is sadly not hyperbole anymore.
No, it's really not.
But the other thing that came across my feed as well is apparently Keith Olbermann is back.
Is he?
He's sort of. I'm not sure if this is part of a new running segment or if this is just one thing that I happen to see on GQ's YouTube channel. But basically, he's coming out with more what appears to be an internet-based, nothing but special comments kind of show, which I can deeply appreciate because I miss Keith.
I do too.
I miss Keith even being on ESPN. I thought he's a hoot.
Yeah.
But it was normally the videos he does are about 6 minutes or so. This was 18 minutes, and it was entitled 176 Reasons Why Donald Trump Should Not Be President.
That's all he got?
That's all he got, summarizing the man's entire campaign from the start of it in January last year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that brings another interesting point, you know, especially considering the medium we're using, which is new media and the advent of it. There have been both positive and negative consequences to it, and it was really interesting listening to, I believe it was Callie's show, the Gaytheist Manifesto number 82, where they were talking about YouTube atheism and how the only successful, really successful people tend to be loudmouth assholes. And
like guys like TJ Kirk?
Yeah.
But
at the same time, that's kind of what YouTube is anymore, and that's why I don't spend a lot of time on it. Even the people I used to like watching on YouTube, you know, I still catch CinemaSins and What Culture every now and then, but that's about it. Like, I just... You know, even Nostalgia Critic, who I have adored for years, just ever since he got sponsors, it seems like the content has changed, it seems like he's changed. And, you know, I know people change, but I'm just not as into it anymore, which is fine. But I think also it may be because I love the depth to which a podcast can get in. You know, I love listening to all the people on our subscription list, all the friends of the page. I spend hours listening to podcasts, and that is a place that YouTube just can't get at, mostly because the time frame is unrealistic. You can do other things while listening to a podcast. I happen to do it the 4 hours a day I spend in the damn car.
Yeah.
But watching a YouTube video is a little less convenient. But you can talk for an hour, hour and a half with people or by yourself on a podcast, and it's nothing. You go 20 minutes on YouTube, and nobody's going to follow, and podcasts also don't have the same reputation for commenters. So I've shied away from the visual medium as a whole for the most part. I barely spend any time on YouTube except when you're playing stuff. The only movies I've watched recently were made in the 90s. I've completely
that's entirely fine. I mean, with today's storage media, that's not much of an issue. I mean, I was just watching one from 1979 last night and highly enjoying it because I fucking love that movie.
The last time there was a movie that came out that I wanted to see was Kingsman. That was 2 years ago.
Yep.
Like, I think I've been to two movies since then, and one I just went along with you so I could talk about it on the show when we were still talking about movies. But I can't talk about movies anymore because I don't want to go see any of them anymore.
Well, welcome to your 30s,
yeah,
I guess. This is what I could just sum it up as.
Yeah.
more than anything else, I don't know that it's necessarily a problem with media, new or old. I think it's just a problem with us getting older,
I guess. But at the same time, we are using new media.
Yes.
Podcast is really, you know, everybody thinks that audio technology and, you know, usefulness went out with the FM AM radio, and it really hasn't. I spend more time with podcasting than I do any other media combined.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't even listen to music that much anymore because I'm always listening to a podcast.
It's polished talk radio.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
And I'm sure if I had a Rush Limbaugh on my podcast app, I'd change my mind in a hurry.
But oh, believe me, his radio show is simulcast over the internet. He's got a podcast. Mark Levin's got a podcast.
Who?
Exactly.
Okay.
A lot of those assholes have, if they're not just parts of their radio shows, they've got podcasts.
Yeah, and that seems like a good place to take a break, and we're going to let you listen to Jesse Dollimore tell you how to support the show, and when we come back, we're going to get to the main topic. And, of course, you can support us, and you should, but if you want to advertise on us, we are also offering that. We'll be right back.
Inciting Incident couldn't keep bringing you commentary, interviews, and fantastic guests without help from you, the patrons. You can support the podcast on a monthly basis at patreon.com/incitingincident, which gives you access to many great rewards, including a free t-shirt if you pledge $5 or more. You can also support the show by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and commenting. To contact them about ideas, guests, disagreements, fisticuffs, salmon slapping, rebel rousing, or just plain old tomfoolery, you can email them at incitingincidentpodcast@gmail.com. On Facebook, at facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast. Or yell into a tin cup and hope it's connected to one of our aforementioned string networks. And now, back to the show.
And we're back, and I'd just like to say once again that this show is brought to you by my friend Terry Sheffield and the site Mind Aquarium. Bring beauty into your home with Mind Aquarium. Original custom art and prints by Terry Sheffield. Weird is welcome. I couldn't think of a better slogan to add to a show sponsoring us. Or a sponsor doing the thing. I fucked that up.
Words. It's, yeah, we can't words anymore.
No, we can't.
Just enjoy your McGillicuddies.
Yes, I will. I will. You know, episode 58 was nothing but me bullshitting with three people after a few beers. Thanks, Andrew. If you ever want to get me rolling, if we record a podcast together, bring the beer or Dr. McGillicuddy's menthol mint, and there's a very good chance I will not shut the fuck up.
Just mention Common Core in my hearing. You'll get plenty out of me.
It's so stupid, man. It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, fuck you. Fuck you and your lazy fucking calculator-dependent brain, you fucking asshat.
What's that? I gotta get a calculator. It's on my phone, I forget my...
I will break my foot off in your empty ass.
I often see a lot of the Common Core complaints coming from people who complain that there's nobody in the STEM fields anymore. I guess they don't know what the M means.
Thankfully, I've got to say, from my brief foray into education, I'm actually happy that they're broadening the acronym out to include arts and music.
Oh, good.
It's no longer focusing just on STEM. It's the new acronym is STEAM.
I like it.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
You know, I see a lot of people who are likely way more privileged than most people who get into arts and music programs, but there's some real talented people out there, and the people who are going to change the world, you don't know their names yet, but I might know a few of them. I was just sitting in class yesterday, and my professor, who I think is older than time, I'm not sure, was talking about, first of all, he graduated from Oxford, and second of all...
Wait, the one in Mississippi or the real Oxford?
The real Oxford.
Okay.
He was talking about sitting in that very room with Noam Chomsky, an alum of my school, and I had to let that process for a second. It's like, I go to the same school as Noam Chomsky, Aaron Sorkin, President William something. It's escaping me at the moment. William Henry Harrison, that's it.
There we go.
But then, unfortunately, there's also Donald Trump. But anyway, there's a lot of famous grads there. But it just really, really hit me that I'm talking to a guy who sat down with the foremost linguist in the world right now, who now teaches at MIT. When you teach at MIT, chances are I think you know something. And if you went you went to Penn and ended up teaching at MIT, they might have taught you something. But that class specifically has gotten me very interested because in anthropology, there's been a lot of shift recently. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, anthropology used to be very focused on small tribal cultures. You know, cultures that live in the desert or are very aboriginal. I'm trying to use the right words here. But it's been a shift recently because the theory is that globalization, which is the interconnecting of all the people around the world, is not only that nations are becoming irrelevant, but that cultures are being diluted.
Mm-hmm.
Because they would say, you know, you used to be able to go from one country to the other and there would be a distinct culture, a distinct people, distinct everything, and now there's not. But my argument is that globalization has made cultures more specific.
Mm-hmm.
It has narrowed the niche market for cultures because, first of all, if we go 10 miles that way, the culture is drastically different. And point two, conventions.
Mm-hmm.
Those are cultures now.
Oh, yeah.
You know, these are groups of people connected by one genre, or in the Brony case, one specific thing. I don't think culture is being diluted. I just think the definition of it is changing, and I don't see that as a bad thing.
I'm certainly inclined to agree, but I would say that, so instead of us being more interested in dividing ourselves by national culture in particular, we're more or less focusing on dividing ourselves up by subculture.
By subculture, but I think subculture will become culture.
That's assuming it isn't already. I mean, Robert Wall was famous for saying this in one of his Assume the Position specials, that pop culture itself is history. Pop culture is culture.
Yeah, and it's just becoming, you know, I realize we live in the instant information age, and the fact that we've had people from goddamn Australia and France on this show is sad, but it's indicative of that. But, you know, culture in its original meaning was an environment in which we were brought up that influenced our behavior,
mm-hmm.
That taught us right from wrong, that taught us our morality, that taught us rituals. You know, these are all things that still exist.
Yes.
They're just different now. One of the best examples that I can think of is it used to be that where you lived was defined by what church you went to and what city you lived in, especially during the Civil War. Most of the people that fought in the Civil War had never been more than 20 miles from their own house. So there was a strong sense of regionalism, of, you know, even Robert E. Lee famously said that he was more loyal to his state than he was to his country.
He was Virginian, wasn't he?
Yes.
Okay.
And now, you know, there's still that tribal mentality, but just for different reasons. Have you been to a sports game?
What is a modern American football game but a one-day meeting of the biggest gang in the city?
Yeah. And then we have the Olympics, which just puts it on a bigger stage, but it's really the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
our culture is changing, and that scares some people of the old guard. You know, we were talking about that earlier with Trump. People are scared that their quality of life is going to change, but the difference is the Trump people are scared that other people are going to get rights besides them, so fuck them and fuck the people who protested at my school.
It's that false mentality that it's a zero-sum game. That for some reason, if somebody else gains, it means fundamentally I have to lose, and it's not the case.
No, it isn't. Equal rights doesn't mean more rights. You know, equal rights doesn't mean I am now superior to you, or this person is now superior to you.
I almost want to say that, and this may just be the mathematician part of me talking, but I feel like that term equality is actually a misnomer. I think we should be working on a different term here. Because it's not equality. I think actually equality is what scares them. The notion that
they're not special?
They're not special. Yeah, they're not special. They're not on top. That somebody else will have all of the powers and privileges that they enjoy. That does scare them on a deep-seated level.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about equality, I don't think that it's the right word. I think what we're talking about is because we want equality of opportunity and equality of outcome, regardless of individual circumstances. What we're really after here is equity. We're after people getting to enjoy the fruits of the same result, even though they're fundamentally on different levels.
Yeah. I mean, equality doesn't necessarily mean, you know, that everybody will end up in the same place. It means equal chances. It means not being discriminated against based on who you are, regardless of whether that's skin color, ethnicity, sexuality, gender identity, or anything like that. And I know for a fact that the people protesting yesterday think that everybody else but them is wrong, and that queers are going to bring down the world. I mean, they were calling everybody on our campus empty-minded liberal people, and, you know, the great thing is all the conservative people who, you know, disavow them but essentially say the same things in their pulpits and on their TVs. They just don't say that God hates fags in those words.
I guess we'll quote Andrew as well. There's a time, manner, and place restriction for stupid-ass bullshit that you can say and have people take you seriously.
Andrew? Which Andrew?
Torres.
Oh, of course. Okay.
Friend of the show, Andrew Torres.
Well, I know a lot of damn Andrews. You podcast with more than one Andrew, okay?
Andrew. Yes.
On occasion, anyway.
I'm not sure what that situation is, but...
Yeah, that's a shame.
We're both pretty behind.
But at least that gives us more time to do things. So, basically what I'm saying here is that there's no reason to be afraid of culture changing. It's people who cling to old definitions of it who are the most scared, and if you can't adapt to change, you will be left behind. It's that simple. That's evolution. That's adaptation. It's a primary human component. And I realize people become less adaptable as they get older, but that doesn't mean it's impossible. You know, I was reading that one Cracked article that said it's inevitable no matter who you are. I don't think so. Not in this age. Not anymore. I fully admit I am out of touch with most mainstream pop culture, and I'm fine with that. But at the same time, if it were to come out tomorrow that there was a new gender identity or that people wanted a different definition of safe space or trigger warnings or whatever the hot topic will be in a week, okay, I'll listen. You know, I think I've become more open-minded in my 30s than less, and I think that's the opposite of what the cliche is.
Well, the notion that... It's like Jim David's one joke, the older that you get, the more you realize people in their teens and 20s don't know a goddamn thing about anything. But
they deserve to be heard.
Yes, no, I'm not discounting that.
No, it's like we said to Reese on one of the first episodes, you're 19 years old, you are perfectly entitled to be completely full of shit.
Yes.
Which
is one of my favorite sentences of all time.
Thank you.
But I have to disagree with you on one point there.
Go for it.
This is one of those things where... it's not setting off my inner Inigo Montoya, because I think the word means exactly what you think it means. I just don't think it's relevant anymore. The idea of mainstream pop culture, I would say that ever since really the rise and prevalence of cable television in particular, and large-scale, large data cable and satellite and fiber optic television choices, I mean, you've got how many... 2,000 goddamn channels on our TV right now. There is no such thing... as mainstream pop culture anymore. There's no real thing as mainstream media, because the idea of mainstream is we're all fundamentally getting it from the same source. I mean, it used to be in the olden days when we were still young and we only had like two or three channels on our TVs. Yes, we were old enough to remember that point. It wasn't that long ago. But, you know, you had your three basic networks, you know, NBC, ABC, CBS. And while there were differences in the format, the broadcasting, and the focus, it was all more or less the same information delivered in the same style. We don't have that anymore. The notion of turn the dial if you don't like what you hear, well, you're on the dial to hear what you want to hear in the first place. That's the ultimate point. That's the ultimate problem. We've separated ourselves into such niche thinking all over the place that I wouldn't say it's as strong as every one of us lives in a bubble, but we do insulate ourselves to the information that we get. And a lot of times modern technology, especially with Facebook, which shows you what the things you want to read, well, yes, it's going to give you the information that you want, not the information that you need. And yeah, we're all not reading from the same playbook anymore.
We aren't, and you can see a lot of effects of that where people will say, if you don't agree with this, unfriend me. And that's a really, really unhealthy way to go.
Mm-hmm.
I will say there are people in my friends list who pissed me the fuck off yesterday. But at the same time, I don't want everybody to agree with me. That would be goddamn boring.
Yes.
You know, even us. We haven't agreed about everything on this show.
But episode.
If we tune everything out that we disagree with, we don't learn anything. We're not forced to defend our points. We're not put in a position where anything can be challenged. And I know some of the alt-right people are going to say, oh, that's what you want in a safe space, isn't it?
No!
That's not what that word means. What we're saying is you can't live in a bubble regardless of where that bubble is, but you should have a place where you can go where you're not going to be called a slur. That's the difference.
I can't remember. I think it was Tom and Cecil talking about this, but they likened it to what a safe space is, basically, is it was either Tom and Cecil or somebody else, but they're talking about it in the context of it's the equivalent of the teenager going up in their room and shutting the door. They just want the place where all of the anger will still exist, all of the irrational bullshit will still exist outside of that space. What they want is just a place where they can go in, shut the door, and just be themselves for a time, and then they will go back into the real world happy and fulfilled.
Right. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
There's nothing wrong with having a place to go where you can be safe, where you can recharge.
This
isn't weakness.
I feel like it goes back to that Little Rascals idea. It's like, well, why can't we come into the club? Why can't we come into the clubhouse, your special clubhouse that you've got just for yourselves?
You
like,
can! Just don't be an asshole!
Basically.
You know, you can ask for a safe space, but if you go in and the first thing you say is God hates fags, you're not welcome! You're missing the point. A safe space isn't a place that you go that it means that you can say whatever you want. It means that you can go
and not
be attacked.
Yes.
You know? You're not going to be able to slap the turban off the guy's head. You know, you're not going to be able to do that, but you're still free to say that if you want to. I think you're an asshole if you do it, but there's a time and a place. And a place where you can go where they say, you know, nothing we say leaves this room. We're not going to judge anybody here. We're going to be constructive. That is not a bad thing!
Where everybody knows your name.
Do you realize how old that reference is now?
I don't give a fuck.
No, I'm not judging you. I just realized that, you know, a lot of my columns and, you know, way of speaking, as you know, is heavily reference-based. And I did a PowerPoint presentation in one of my classes, and I had two short video clips to emphasize what I was saying.
Right.
One was the professor in Animal House, and one was Sean Connery on SNL, and I realized, oh shit, those are 20 and 40-year-old references. What is happening?
You know, this shit is moving, Ruth.
Yeah, and the reason I have the clip of the professor in Animal House is because I was referring to Kant, where he was basically saying that the criticism of Kant was essentially saying that he was out of touch. And I was saying, you know, he is out of touch with modern science. He's a little bit long-winded. He doesn't translate very well into our generation, and his jokes are terrible. And I realized if I just said that, nobody would get it. Nobody. That movie was made in 1978.
And it shows.
Yeah, it does. there's problems with that movie, but we won't go there right now.
All
right. Values dissonance is not this episode. So I haven't asked, I brought up all four topics. What do you want to talk about, Brian?
Oh, God. For some reason, I'm really digging a lot of new editions of classic board games. I've got it up as we're talking here. I recently downloaded a brand new version of Monopoly for my Xbox because I am a sadist. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I mean, a lot of it is the influence of your kids. They've been going up into my room to play my board games, and I've got things, you know, some classics, some revamped classics. I've got Monopoly. I've got Life. We played Sorry not that long ago.
And I'm so glad you're here to do that because I can't. I can't. I just can't. I love my children with every fiber of my being. I cannot do that part, so thank you. I'm not the person to invite over for board games unless it involves trivia or insulting somebody. If it's not those two things, chances are I'm out.
Speaking of which, we owe the household a chance to see you and I go head-to-head and seen it at one point.
Yes, we do. you know, especially since there's no new movies on it, at least the last time I saw, so I can still get some of the answers. But we should go head-to-head and seen it. And we should also go head-to-head in some kind of modern trivia game.
Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah. I hope there's a more updated version of it without the cheap pussy new rules they have. That's insulting.
Well, I've still got the Genius Edition from 1986, if you feel ballsy enough.
That's the other end of the spectrum. you know, it's like, modern questions, but not the new way that you can win in 15 minutes, please. So we played with the old board and the new questions. That was a good way to go. So the trip to Baltimore was really fun. I know that's two episodes ago now that we're listening to it. We had the episode with Sean Meehan air a week ago as of when this episode will debut. But we were down there, and we ended up recording two episodes in a row. You went home, of course. Mm-hmm. But then we went to Morgan State the next day to support Holy Cross. And I work for the University of Pennsylvania football team. Yeah,
University of Football.
Yeah, I'd go there. I'd go there and I'd get my MBA from Warrior University, but that's not important right now. But so I thought Penn had small attendance. You know, on a good day we'll get 10,000, 20,000 for homecoming. There couldn't have been more than 500 people at this game. And Holy Cross is a D1 school just like us. And I actually legitimately felt bad.
Aww.
Because Holy Cross just beat the shit out of this poor team. And, you know, Big Steve Cully was the coach, was one of the coaches who, you know, sat down with us on episode 58. And they're playing two Ivy League teams, but fortunately they're not us, so go Holy Cross against those two teams. hi, Steve. Nice to see you. But it was really interesting because it's a historically black college. Mm. I wasn't aware of that. And what I thought was really fun was it reminded me of the time I got stuck in the ghetto back in Otakon 2003.
Ah, yes.
Because the security attendants at the game were teasing me in a very friendly way. Mm-hmm. But it was the same way as when I got lost in Baltimore, because their look was basically, "The hell are you doing here?" Like, I'm walking through and the guy's saying, "What the hell are you doing here with a Penn jersey?" I was like, "I work for them." He goes, "What the hell are you doing here?" I mean, it was just fun. Like, I'm also that guy who apparently looks so innocent and lost that in the ghetto people just feel sorry for me.
In the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
You're like a lost puppy.
Yeah. I will continue to use that for my advantage as long as they'll let me. But unfortunately, it doesn't work at asshole protests. So, you know, bringing this back around, if we were to sort of encapsulate everything we're trying to say, which of course will be 12 days out of date when this airs, you know, because things move so fast now, it is basically, don't be a dick.
Yes.
You know,
Wheaton's Law.
Yeah. You know, if you still have a problem with gay people, I feel kind of sorry for you, but you're entitled to that. You're not entitled to harass people. You're not entitled to go up to them and call them slurs. And you're definitely not entitled to shoot them if they disagree with you. You know, whatever your fucking name is from Alabama. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. We don't shoot people we disagree with. That's what psychopaths do. So, Before we get out of here, before we wrap this up, we of course want to thank Sean Meehan for coming on the show last week,
yes.
And Andrew Torres and Steve Cully for the last two episodes. But we want to thank Dan Flanagan for becoming a new High Roller patron.
Yay!
You know, he has a board game, not a board game, a card game. That he's coming out with. He hasn't given me the information yet. And we, of course, want to thank Terry Sheffield of Mind Aquarium for being our first official sponsor. We officially have two now. But they still get patron rewards. So, Brian.
Yes.
For Mr. Dan Flanagan first. All right. He's a big wrestling fan.
Oh.
So if you were to take Dan Flanagan, and let's think of a crazy nickname for him.
Dan the Man Flanagan?
How about Dan the Hentai Man Flanagan?
Too wordy.
Okay. How about just Hentai?
Okay.
Hey, I worked with a guy named Super Hentai.
Okay.
So Dan Hentai Flanagan can be inserted into any possible main event against any wrestler or wrestlers living or dead at any show. What is it?
Oh, geez. God, I'll throw him into Survivor Series 1991. If only because I want to see him. Was it 91 or 1990 that The Undertaker debuted?
1990.
Survivor Series 1990, he'll be a team of five just of himself. And beat the ever-loving crap out of Team Ultimate Warrior.
All right. I will go with the year that HBK teased Bret Hart was coming back. I think it was 2003,
mm-hmm.
2004, something like that. He trolled everybody in Montreal by playing Bret Hart's music, and it actually wasn't him.
Yes.
And Bret Hart didn't return for another 6 years, but it induced one of the biggest pops of all time.
Yep.
I would make Dan Flanagan be the face wrestler that came out and beat the shit out of Shawn Michaels for pulling that move, and make it a point to all YouTube commenters that this is what happens when you're an asshole. So that's what you get, Dan Hentai Flanagan. You are the anti-troll. Welcome, Hentai.
All right.
Welcome.
I am off as soon as we're done here to go found Football University. Go Fighting Pigskins!
Can we bring back Warrior University? I want to be president. But we got one more patron left to thank, and that is, of course, Terry Sheffield of Mind Aquarium. Like I said, our first sponsor, and she does some amazing work. Look her up on Facebook. Just type in Mind Aquarium or Terry Sheffield. Both of those should take you to her page.
Mm.
But as we both have some experience with her, she's a great person. We go back a long way. I want to ask, if you could take her and put her into any famous YouTube video and have her be awesome, which one would it be?
I'd substitute her for Markiplier in his Super Squat Simulator video, and she can introduce herself as Ludwig von Bohlen Crusher.
Okay, I would have her in Extra Credits History, and I would have her be the guy who's like, we cool?
Yeah,
we
cool.
Because he gets to be awesome. And Terry is awesome. Terry, thank you for sponsoring our show. You do some great work, and I know you weren't fond of the work that you did 10 years ago when we dated, but art is growing. Art is learning. You know, if you want to go back and watch the first YouTube video I ever did and compare it to how I speak now, you are free to do so. I wouldn't. I don't. Whenever my kids say, can we watch Jaded Hope, I say only
no.
If it's episode 50 or later. So it's all about growing, it's all about learning, it's all about getting better. And Terry, you were always good, so now you're just really that good. You're welcome, Bob. We patronize that show along with many others. So if you want to support us or advertise with us, go to patreon.com/incitingincident. We are on Facebook, of course, facebook.com/incitingincidentpodcast. If you don't know how to subscribe to us by now, I feel kind of bad for you, but you should. You know, rates, comments, all those things, they help the show, even if you don't want to be a patron. That helps us most of all. But if you can't do that, 5-star ratings, comments, good things, I hope. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spreaker, whatever else people use to listen to us for some reason. All of those things are good things. And coming up soon, I'm not sure when, maybe we'll know by the time this airs, we are going to be on God Awful Movies.
Yay!
And we are going to be on Opening Arguments.
Awesome!
Dates aren't confirmed yet, but you'll be able to hear us on those sources. And if you haven't already liked those podcasts, what the hell are you doing listening to us?
Please do so.
Absolutely. So we're going to wrap up there and leave you, as we always do on Friday nights, which is the only night we do this anymore, with my friend Neil Swanger from the Twin Cities with Michigan Moon. Good night, everybody.
Driving up toward Green Bay, the east, the sun's in the rearview mirror. We both had some pretty tough weeks, white knuckles try to steer. A few more miles, there's no telling what we'll find. All we gotta do is take a little time. We all gotta find our own ways to love and hope and breathe again. Some that just happens to be on the shores of Lake Michigan. You can't explain the way a city grips your mind. All we gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Flow right in and hair rocks and vanish from our sight. Kinda like those troubles that wash away quicker in the moonlight. This crazy old world's got no reason or rhyme. All we gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Little to no chance for all that stormy weather, no. It appears conditions won't get much better for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan. Sometimes this old world seems much worse than it should be. Couple days later, you're sitting and thinking how lovely. I won't question the scope or design. All I gotta do is take a little time for you and me and the moon and Lake Michigan.